Loving God, as we turn to these scriptures, we pray to be open to the ways that they speak to us, that they reveal yourself to us, and that they reveal who we are to be to one another. Gracious God, if anything is said or done which is not pleasing to you, may we not remember that, but instead remember that which you would have us to know. We ask all these prayers in your Son's name. Amen. Today we're going to continue our series on the New Testament letter called James, which we think was originally a sermon written by James, the brother of Jesus, and then someone later added to it, and to be able to share it with a wider audience like us. We've heard words from James about how to be better listeners and to put our words into action, about the importance of not showing partiality to folks, especially because of wealth or power. And we've heard guidance from James about how to resolve conflicts with one another. Well, today's scripture is going to also mention some of the conflict that the community is addressing. And James is going to offer a contrast between selfishness and humility. So let us turn now to James chapter 3, verses 13, actually through 4:10, which is a couple additional verses from what's listed in the bulletin.
Morning. James 3, verses 13 through chapter 4, verse 10. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes with wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you live with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. This is the word of the Lord.
Michael Renninger tells about an experience he had attending a Catholic university in Washington, D.C. The teacher, Father Gignac, was asking the students a question in their intro to New Testament Greek class. The professor read a Greek text, and he asked the students if they knew what it meant, if they could translate it for the class. No one responded. So then he went around to each of the male students and asked them if they could translate the passage, to which no one was able. Then the professor turned to one more student. He said, Karen, you can do it. Please let translate the passage for the rest of the class. And Karen did it. According to Michael Renninger, Karen did it again. Karen, the only female in the class, had once again made the male students look unprepared. Karen was the mother of three small children. She worked a full-time job. She wanted to study to do youth ministry, and so that's how she ended up in this theology class at this Catholic university with all male students. Her schedule was crazy, and yet, in every class, she was the one who was always prepared, always did the reading, and always did the homework. Michael says the other classmates hated her for that. They did not like her because she was doing what all the rest of them were supposed to be doing. They were extremely jealous and envious of her accomplishments. James asked in our reading, "Who is wise and understanding among you?" And then he contrasts wisdom that is from God with wisdom that is from outside of God. And wisdom that is not of God presents itself as jealousy and selfish ambition. So why do we become jealous and selfish? Sociologist Brené Brown says that we develop a mindset of scarcity. We think that we are not good enough, so we become jealous of others. We want what they have because we don't think we have enough of what we think we should have. And Brown's not talking about material things when she says we live under a mindset of scarcity. Instead, she says we worry that we are not smart enough, that we are not powerful enough, that we are not pretty enough, that we are not perfect enough. We compare ourselves against others who seem to have more of what we think we should have. And so we become jealous. According to Brown, men and women express their scarcity in different ways. For women, driven by a mindset of scarcity, they feel like they must be perfect or look perfect. They fear being judged by others. Women fear that no matter what they achieve, that they will be exposed as less than in some way. There are the ways that women typically live out a scarcity mindset. Men also live out a scarcity mindset that we express ourselves a little bit differently typically. For men, our scarcity mindset comes when we fear failing in our jobs, with our families, with our children, and with our money. Men fear being wrong and believe that showing fear is a sign of weakness. We hate being ridiculed. We become angry and scared, and we lash out against others. According to James, these examples are what it looks like to follow the wisdom of the world. The wisdom that tells us that we are not good enough for whatever reason. The wisdom that tells us that we are not good enough, and that the wisdom that tells us that we got to do it all. The wisdom that tells us that we have to be perfect and that we cannot make any mistakes. The wisdom that tells us that we have to be overachievers. But according to James, if that is the wisdom that we are following, then that is not godly wisdom. However, let us listen to what James says is godly wisdom. James says that wisdom that is from God is wisdom that leads to seeking peace among those who are in conflict with one another. Godly wisdom is gentle and is willing to compromise. How many of us get the message in our culture that compromise is a sign of weakness? But yet James says that seeking to compromise is a godly wisdom. James says that godly wisdom is full of mercy and shows no partiality and no hypocrisy. Getting back at someone for the harm they have done to you is not wisdom from God. Showing mercy and grace is wisdom from God. Playing favorites is not wisdom from God. Showing no partiality, according to James, is wisdom from God. Brené Brown says that the opposite of scarcity is not abundance. Instead, according to her, and I think according to James, the opposite of scarcity is wholeness. The wisdom from God that says, yes, we are good enough. The wisdom that from God that says we don't have to prove ourselves worthy. The wisdom from God that says we can define what our boundaries are and be okay with what we are able to accomplish. The wisdom from God that says we are loved by God. This is what wholeness living looks like. We can move away from scarcity thinking. We can listen and accept the wisdom of God who reminds us that we are special to God and that is all that matters. We have nothing to prove. We have nothing to covet. The last sentence we read this morning says that we are invited to humble ourselves before the Lord, and there we will be exalted. When we realize that we have nothing to covet, then we don't have to prove ourselves anymore. We can live a life of humility because there is nothing that we need beyond what we already have in the love of God through Jesus Christ. God's wisdom is mercy and love. We have nothing to prove to anyone. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Holy God, we are in a rat race to prove ourselves worthy. But through the words of James, we are reminded that we don't have to try to do that. That we can accept that we are loved and accepted by you. And that's all that matters. We offer up all these prayers to your Son's name. Amen.